Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for May 7th, 2010.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
It was neither a single leader scenario nor a completely democratic process.
From an evolutionary perspective, you wouldn't really expect an animal to make that investment unless there was a strong reason for it.
I think what the pigeons are teaching us or telling us is that perhaps there's a system for this kind of group decision making that is more efficient or perhaps more accurate than these two extremes.
After the cold spell breaks, as spring comes, the increase in temperature and increase in day length tell the plants to flower.
It's springtime, and this week we'll answer a listener's question about how plants know when it's time to start producing buds. We'll also tell you how flocks of homing pigeons decide which way to turn next. But first, Suzanne Bard investigated why color vision is so important to bees.
Most flying insects can see motion much faster than humans can. That's why houseflies, for example, are so hard to swat. But less is known about color vision, which involves different visual receptors. Peter Skorupski and Lars Chitka of Queen Mary University of London decided to look at bees. Just as a movie reel creates moving pictures out of thousands of individual frames, our brains create a continuous image out of countless split-second visual snapshots. But a bee's vision beats ours in that respect. Skorupski explains that although bees use color vision to identify flowers, having unnecessarily fast color vision could waste precious energy.
So from an evolutionary perspective, you wouldn't really expect an animal to make that investment unless there was a strong reason for it.
They found that bees' color vision receptors were slower than their basic vision receptors, but still fast compared to those of humans or even other insects. That suggests that bees may use color to make split-second navigation decisions and not just to tell roses from tulips.
Thanks, Suzanne. Next, Karina Wu answers a listener's question.
When spring arrives, it seems like flowers and trees all burst into bloom at the same time. That prompted listener Todd Pangburn of St. Paul, Minnesota, to wonder just how plants decide when to form buds. For the answer, we consulted plant biologist Sue Ree, a staff scientist at the Carnegie Institution in Stanford, California. She says the process starts in the winter, when a combination of cold temperatures and shortened days tells a plant to get ready.
After the cold spell breaks, as spring comes, the increase in temperature and increase in day length tell the plants to flower.
The exact temperatures and number of days it takes varies from one plant to another. She says this process of preparing to bud is called vernalization.
People started studying this process in agriculture, actually, centuries ago, but only in the past century did they understand how it works molecularly.
Ree says even though the molecular mechanism is now well understood, figuring out how plants evolve to do this is still a hot topic of research in plant biology.
Thanks, Karina. In the human world, leadership can be contentious and frustrating. Do you have one commander calling the shots or try to build consensus? Next up, Justin Warner reports on how pigeons seem to have found a happy balance between the two.
When it comes to leadership, we might want to take a cue from pigeons. This according to a British and Hungarian research team led by Tomasz Vicek of Jutfus University in Budapest. According to Oxford University zoologist Dora Biro, they wanted to know how pigeon flocks turn and navigate in seemingly perfect unison. So they strapped tiny GPS-equipped backpacks to the birds.
And these devices were configured to record data points every 0.2 seconds. So basically a positional fix on where the bird was.
That meant that anytime the flock changed direction, the researchers could pinpoint which bird actually turned first. Bureau says they wondered whether one bird would consistently lead or whether any bird could do so.
And what we found was something in between these two extremes. So it was neither a single leader scenario nor a completely democratic process.
She says there was a definite hierarchy with a few birds doing most of the decision-making, but one that allowed for occasional input from lower-ranking birds. Bureau says the system works so well that it may be a good model for human groups, like trial juries and corporate boards.
The same question applies there. You know, should they follow a single dominant leader or should it be a completely democratic system where everyone puts in a vote? And I think what the pigeons are teaching us or telling us is that perhaps there's a system for this kind of group decision making that is more efficient or perhaps more accurate than these two extremes.
In other words, one with a trusted leader who calls most of the shots, but who also lets rank-and-file members step up once in a while.
Thanks, Justin. Hermit crabs protect their soft bodies by using empty snail shells as mobile homes. But as they grow, they need to abandon their homes and find larger shells, which isn't easy. Researchers at Tufts University and the New England Aquarium have found that any large, empty shell draws a crowd of expectant hermit crabs. They begin sorting themselves by size until one large enough for the new home happens by. When it leaves its shell to move into the new home, the next largest crab takes that shell, leaving its shell for a smaller crab and so on, until everyone has a roomy new home.
And in other animal news, Oxford University scientists recorded the call made by elephants when they're attacked by bees. When they played it back to other elephants, the new group reacted as if there were bees present too, suggesting that elephants use calls to communicate specific information.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll have a whole new set of fascinating science stories for you. But if you can't wait that long, you can get your daily dose of science by listening to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.